Bibles this morning, go to the Gospel of John, chapter number 8. Gospel of John, chapter number 8. We've been in John 8 recently, but going a different route this morning. While you're turning, I want to ask, if you will, to pray for Brother Jackie, our assistant pastor. He's on the mend, had some procedures done, and if you would pray for him, I know he'd appreciate it. Also, Miss Wanda Presley is homesick, and that's would pray for her, so pray for these. John chapter number 8, verse number 31. You've been seated a while. Let's stand together. We'll reverence God's word as we read it together. John chapter 8, verse number 31. The Bible said, Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed? And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you." You can have a seat. While you're seating, I will read again verse 36. The Bible said, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." And I want to preach this morning on the subject, free indeed. We as Americans ought to know something and be grateful. And I know America's got her problems and her issues, and they're trying to take our liberties from us. Seems like every day that passes, we're losing more and more of our freedoms and our liberties. But we still live in the freest country on planet Earth. And as Americans, we ought to stop every now and then and thank God for the freedoms and the liberties that we have. Because we are Americans, we possess certain rights and liberties that citizens of other nations don't get to enjoy. Because we are Americans, we can assemble in a sanctuary like this morning. Because we are Americans, we have the right and the freedom to serve and worship any God that we choose, or no God at all, only because we're Americans. Because we're Americans, we have the right to speak our mind and have the First Amendment guarantees that we have freedom of speech. And what a liberty and what a blessing of freedom that is. Because we are Americans, we have the right to carry a Bible and pray in the name of Jesus and serve Him in the world today. Thank God for the rights that we enjoy as Americans. And all God's people ought to say amen. Even if you ain't saved, you ought to say amen to that. If you're an American, you've got to be blessed, and you've been blessed with the freedoms and the liberties just by God allowing you to be born in the United States of America. But did you know this morning that it's possible to live in such a great country like America and still not be free? Did you know that it's possible for a person to enjoy all the rights guaranteed to the citizens of our nation and for that person to still be in bondage and in shackles? Did you know that many Americans are free socially, but they're bound spiritually? In these verses we read, Jesus is speaking to a group of people who thought that they were free. They believed deep down in their heart, because of their heritage and because who they was, that they were spiritually free. They believed, because they were the sons of Abraham, that they enjoyed spiritual freedom. But listen to what they said. John chapter 8, verse 33, the Bible said, they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus responds to them in verse 34 and lets them know and answers their question. Jesus answered them, said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. The same truth is repeated in Romans chapter number 6, verse 16. The Apostle Paul said this, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Jesus also wants the audience to know this morning, those that he was preaching to that day and those that are hearing his words this morning, that there is power in freedom, and that he come that men could be set spiritually free from the bondage that they were entangled. He reminds them that because they were slaves to sin, that they are not truly free. He tells them in verse 35 that a slave is not a permanent part of the family, while a son is. Listen to verse 35. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. Then Jesus tells us that since he is the son, he has the power to make men free. He tells us in verse 36, he said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You see, a person can be locked away, even in America, they having the freedoms that were given to them by just simply where they were born, yet they can be in shackles and in bondage in a prison cell. I wouldn't call them free this morning. Though they live in America, they're still in bondage. A person can live in an atheistic, godless society and be free if they're in Christ. My point is, it don't matter where you were born, it matters to whom you were born. And Jesus came that you could be born again. He has power to make men free. We celebrate and enjoy our freedoms as Americans, but I want to spend the rest of our time this morning on the freedom that we can enjoy as the children of God. These verses give us facts of what it means to be free, and be free indeed. Every person under the sound of my voice can be free by understanding the following truths. Number one, the source of our freedom. Where do we get our freedom? Where does this freedom that I'm speaking of, not American freedom, not freedom that come from the Declaration of Independence, but this freedom that Jesus spoke of, to where he said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The source of that freedom, Jesus says the source of our spiritual freedom in verse 32 is in the truth. Jesus says and refers to his word. That word truth is in respect to God and the execution of his purpose in his Son, Jesus Christ. In other words, the truth is Jesus, as Jesus is referring to, is none other than himself. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And so when we think about the source of this freedom that we enjoy, the source is none other than the truth, and the truth is Jesus. The truth about Jesus is seen all around us, so that lost sinners are without excuse before God. Listen to what the Bible said in Psalms 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the Son, which is as the bridegroom cometh out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. Romans chapter number 1, verse 18, the Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." I'm simply saying, God has made the firmaments declare His glory. God has made the heavens declare His glory. God has made it possible that anywhere you look, you can see the handiwork of God and know that there's a God in heaven. It takes more faith to be an atheist than it does to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth about Jesus Christ is found in the gospel message. Listen to 1 Corinthians 15:3. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures." That's the gospel in a nutshell. That's the gospel, that He was born of a virgin, that He lived sinless, that He died on a cross called Calvary, and 3 days later, victoriously, He rose over death, hell, and the grave. Say, why are you making a big deal about the gospel? Because I'm preaching on the fact that our source of freedom comes from the truth. What is the truth? The truth is the gospel, and the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The source of our freedom. "Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification?" Romans 4:25. The truth about Jesus is found on every page in your Bible. After all, the history in the Bible is His story. The history in the Word of God is all about His story. It's all about Him. One preacher said, I believe it was Dr. Seidler said, "You'll find Jesus on every page in your Bible. And if you happen to come across one page and you can't find Him, go to the next page and you'll find Him twice." He's all woven in and out this Bible. And this Bible points us to the truth. And that truth is none other than the Lord Jesus, who is our source of freedom. The Bible said in John 5:39, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me." Where can you find Him? The truth about Jesus Christ is revealed to the sinner by the Holy Spirit of God, who opens the blinded eyes and guides them to the light of the Lord Jesus. Listen to what the Bible said. "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." The Holy Spirit of God points you to the truth. The Holy Spirit of God points you to the source of truth. And that is, He said, "I won't speak of Myself. I will speak of that one that can give you freedom." Jesus is the source of truth. The source of our freedom is in Christ and Christ alone. Hurriedly, not only the source of our freedom, but number two, what about the scope? The scope of our freedom. Just how big, just how wide of a freedom do we enjoy? Just how deep, just how long is our freedom? Well, the Bible has a lot to say about it. Jesus said in verse 36 that when He makes a person free, they're free indeed. In other words, there's no room for entanglement. There's no room for shackles where shackles used to be. When He makes you free, the shackles are gone. He come to set the captive free. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. The first word translated free comes from a word that means to set at liberty. It is the picture of someone liberating a slave from bondage. That second word translated free refers to one who is freeborn. Jesus is saying that the freedom He gives us, when He gives us, is so complete that it is as if we were never slaves to begin with, but it is as if we were free from the beginning, as if we were born from the beginning, as if we were the sons of God from the beginning. Your past in Christ has been wiped away. You are just as free in Christ this morning. You're talking about the scope? You're talking about how big and how wide? I mean, every sin I ever committed is gone. It's under the blood. I say that's a mighty big scope, because where my sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Where the mountains of my sin grew, the grace of God in Christ grew larger. The scope of our freedom is in Christ and Christ alone. The liberty Jesus gives us is so complete that it blots out our past and makes us absolutely eternally free. You'll know how long? You'll talk about the scope of our freedom. You'll know how long my freedom lasts. It ain't gonna run out next week. It ain't gonna run out the next time I sin. It ain't gonna run out the next 100 times I sin. I mean, while the ages roll on, 10 million years from now, I'll still be enjoying the freedom that Jesus gave me. The freedom, the source of freedom we enjoy is eternal. That's a far cry from where we were when He found us. Do you remember how enslaved you were? Do you remember how shackled sin had you? Do you remember the grips of Satan? Listen to what the Bible said. John chapter 8, verse 34 in our text, Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." You remember what it was like before you met Jesus? You couldn't quit sinning. You loved sinning. You couldn't get enough of sinning. You couldn't wait for, you'd work from Monday to Friday to punch that clock so you could go to the party, to the next bar, the next beer, the next drug. I mean, you just lapped it up and loved it, because to whom you serve, you are a servant of sin. But when you got saved, oh, did you not get set free? Now, I ain't saying I'm sinless, Brother Ned. I sin. I preach about this Wednesday night, about the forgiveness, the portrait of forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for forgiveness, because I need it. But I'll tell you this, no longer am I a servant to sin, because I've been set free. I've got a new nature in me. I've got a Holy Spirit in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory, and I've been set free from that nature of sin, and that love of sin. By the way, if you still love sin, can I tell you this morning, you are still a sinner. If you still love sin, you still live for sin, you can't wait to get your next part of sin, then old things have not passed away, and behold, all things have not been made new, and you are still a slave in your sin. But to whom the Son sets free, He's free indeed. God has something to say about who we were before He found us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our lifestyle in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." That's why it's hard for me to look down on anybody. That's why it's hard for me to look down on any sinner, because the Bible said, "And such were some of you." We who are saved, we who have been set free, we too, listen, by definition, if we've been set free, what were we set free from? Sin. and the servitude of sin. How can we look down on others? All we ought to have is compassion. Some showing and having compassion, saving them. Because listen, sinners need to know they don't have to remain slaves, but they too can be set free. Thank God for the liberty we enjoy in Jesus Christ. Consider for a moment the areas. I'm talking about the scope. I'm talking about the scope of our freedom. Think about some of the areas we've been set free from and liberated from. We have been delivered from the wrath of God. We could just put it in part, Brother Jeff, right there and scream, hallelujah! No longer am I under the wrath of God. No longer am I facing the wrath of God. But I've been set free. I'll never face the flames of hell. I'll never face the judgment of God. I'll never face, the unadulterated wrath of God that He's going to pour out on this world without mercy. Because I've been set free. And if you're saved and you're in Christ, so have you. What else? Not only have we been set free from the wrath of God, but we've been set free and delivered from condemnation. When you got saved, you were delivered and set free from the condemnation that hung over your head. If you're in here lost this morning, it's like a black cloud walking around everywhere you go, and you wonder why it's so dark and why life's so hard and why it feels like you're always against God and God's against you. Can I tell you that you are already, you ain't waiting to get under the condemnation of God. You already abide under the condemnation of God. But when He saved you, when He forgave you, the condemnation of God lifted forever. And He set you free. Not only from the wrath of God and the condemnation of God, but we've been delivered from, listen, don't nobody get excited about this, it's just a small thing, but we've been delivered from death and hell. In about 2 hours, I'll stand behind the same pulpit after I wipe the sweat off my face and change clothes. Because when I get to heaven, Adam's getting throat punched for the curse of man shall work by the sweat of his brow. Right in the neck, and then we'll spend eternity together and praise the Lord. But in 2 hours, I'll stand behind that pulpit, and you know what I'll do? I'm going to preach a funeral because of death. But can I tell you this morning, if you've been saved, if you've been set free, you have been delivered from death and hell. If you're saved, you don't have to fear death. Death is no conqueror of you. God, listen, Jesus, He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And He gave you life and life eternal. And He set you free so that you don't have to fear death nor hell. So we've been delivered from the wrath of God and the condemnation of God and death and hell. Here's something else we've been delivered from: the power of sin. If you saved, that ought to make you happy. That sin no longer has dominion over you. That you used to serve and be enslaved to, now God severed that. And you have freedom to worship the Lord and love the Lord rather than sin. We've been delivered, praise God, according to 1 Peter chapter number 5, we've been delivered from the power of Satan. The Bible said, ye are of your father, the devil. He used to be my father. He used to be my guardian. He used to be my guide. He used to dominate and call the shots and lead me around, and I had to follow him. But he set me free. He set me free. Praise God, he set me free. The devil don't have no power over me. And if you're saved, you've been set free indeed. I'm talking about the scope. My, what a wide and deep freedom that we enjoy in Christ. The deliverance we enjoy in Christ is complete and full. The Bible said in Romans 8, 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The Bible said in Galatians 5, 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty there wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Why would we run back to that thing that used to have us in bondage? If he set you free, run from it, not to it. That's what he delivered you from. That's what he saved you from. That's what he set you free from. Then finally, and I know some of you are about to have a heart attack. I canceled the choir this morning on purpose to save some time. We had a couple of specials, and my goal is to be done well before 12 o'clock. And I'm on my third and last point, and all God's people said amen. Somebody better call an ambulance. We're liable to have someone going into cardiac arrest here shortly. Finally, not only the source of our freedom and the scope of our freedom, but finally, it wouldn't be possible without the sacrifice of our freedom. The sacrifice for our freedom was not cheap. Just like it wasn't as Americans. You think about the millions of gallons of blood that ran in the ground of our forefathers who bled and died so that we could sit in this sanctuary this morning. And sadly, they are people who are filling the golf courses and filling the fishing ponds and the fishing lakes and the malls and whatever else on this Lord's Day this morning. We had forefathers who, I'm talking about young men, I'm talking about 18, 19, 20-year-old young men that had a lot to lose, and they sacrificed everything they had so that we could enjoy the freedom to worship the God of heaven. Amen. The freedom we enjoy as Americans are not cheap. We enjoy our freedoms as Americans because over 1 million brave soldiers paid for our freedom with their own blood. Consider those who signed the Declaration of Independence. I've got to hurry. Y'all got to listen faster. Come on, pick it up, pick it up. Consider those who signed the Declaration of Independence. Now, I want you to get this. This is amazing. I mean, we hear about the Declaration and we hear about our forefathers and we hear their names and we learn it at school and it's like in one ear and out the other. But I want you to listen at what the cost, the sacrifices that were made that we could have this freedom we enjoy. Listen, 5 signers were captured by the British as traitors and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. I'm talking about signers of the Declaration. 2 lost their sons in the Revolutionary Army. Another had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 signers fought and died from wounds and hardships of the Revolutionary War. These weren't just normal, everyday soldiers. These were high-powered men. These were well-off men. These were rich men. These were men who had degrees and had companies and had all kind of stuff. They were willing, not only them, but them and their family, to lose it all and sacrifice it all so we could enjoy freedom. What kind of men were they? 24 were lawyers and jurists. 11 were merchants. 9 were farmers of large plantation owners, men of means and well-educated, but they signed the Declaration of Independence knowing full well that the penalty would be death if they were captured. Yet they sacrificed it all and signed their name on the dotted line. They signed and they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. Carter Braxton of Virginia, a wealthy planter and trader, saw his ship sunk by the British Navy. He sold his home and his properties to pay debts, and he died in poverty so that we could live in freedom. At the Battle of Yorktown, the British General Cornwallis had taken over Thomas Nelson's home for his headquarters. Nelson quietly ordered General George Washington to open fire on the home, his own home. The home was destroyed and Nelson died bankrupt. I'd say he sacrificed for our freedom. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside as she was dying. Their 13 children fled for their lives, and his fields and mill were destroyed. For over a year, he lived in a forest and cave, returning home only to find that his wife died and his children vanished. And a few weeks later, he died of exhaustion. I'd say he sacrificed a lot for our freedom. Such were the stories and sacrifices of the American Revolution. These were not wild-eyed, rabble-rousing men. These were soft-spoken men, men of means and education. They had security, but they valued liberty more than their own wealth and family and fortune. Standing tall, straight, and unwavering, they pledged for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of the divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortune, and our sacred honor. Our freedom as Americans was purchased at a very high cost. Wouldn't you agree? We should be thankful for it. We should carry it on. We should fight that we keep it. While the price of our national freedom was costly and bloody, it pales in comparison to the freedom and the liberty that I'm preaching about this morning in Christ. The cost of our spiritual freedom was death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary. It was there that He gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, Titus 1 Timothy 2:6. It was there that He became the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. It was there that He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Wasn't cheap. Our freedom wasn't cheap. It was there that the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. All your sin from the very first you ever committed, from that first lie you ever told, when you was crying like a baby, because you was a baby.
I'm hungry.
Like some of you men sound today. Feed me, woman. But seriously, babies, you might have just fed them and they'll still cry. Lying little devils. I'm serious. But from the very first sin, down through the deep, nasty, and dirty ones you committed, all of them. Adolf Hitler, think about the sins. Osama bin Laden, Jeffrey Dahmer, Charles Manson, the most vile rapist you've ever heard of. Are you hearing me? All their sin, not spread out over 6,000 or 7,000 years, but at one moment there on Calvary's tree came crashing down when He who knew no sin became sin and bore our sin on the tree. What a weight. You feel the guilt, you feel the shame, you feel the agony when you fail the Lord. Boy, I do. It's heavy and it's hard. But could you imagine just all the sins combined together at one time that you'd have to feel all that at one time in your life? It would crush you. But imagine the sins of the world. I'm talking about the sacrifice of our freedom. Jesus, the holy, pure, white, royal Lamb of God, looked into that cup and said, "Father, if it be possible, let this pass from me." Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done. And he partook of the cup, and he went, and he allowed God to put sin on him, and he became sin for us so that he could sacrificially give us life and freedom. And it's that same Savior who said, who the Son sets free is free indeed. I think he has rights to say that. I think he has the power behind his name, since it was his own blood who said that. Remember the horrible condition we were in. I read it while ago in Ephesians chapter number 2. But contrast that after you got saved, after you were set free. Listen to what Ephesians went on to say after verse 3. Verse 4 said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm saying we've been set free. I close by simply asking you this question. And in Christ, you're free. The source of our freedom is Christ. The scope of our freedom is unbelievable. It's eternal. And the sacrifice is indescribable. And yet, he calls all who will come to give it to you, to give you freedom for free. As she sang a while ago, his life for mine. I'm done preaching this morning, but I want everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes. And I want you to answer this question personally. Don't put your pocketbook up. Don't put your Bible up. Just close your eyes, bow your head. And I want you to ask yourself this question. Walk back down memory lane through your own life. Get your mind off what I did. Get your mind off what somebody across the room did and the sins you know they did. All you got to do is walk back down your life. You know the person you've been. You know the sins you've committed. You know the words that's come out of your mouth. You know the deeds you've done. And I'm asking you, wouldn't you want to trade that life, that filthy, sinful, rotten life that deserves hell, wouldn't you want to trade that for his life? Wouldn't you want to give your tattered, broken life in exchange for a freedom, liberty, love, light, and be set free? Because Jesus said, whom the Son set free is free indeed. If you shackled in your sin, why wouldn't you come? If you still in your sin, why wouldn't you come? Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. I don't do this often, but I'm going to do it this morning.